Welcome back one more time to Reality NSFW and our coverage of Big Brother Canada 9. Maybe one of the greatest Big Brother seasons that I've seen live. This was incredible. And how do you cap off such an incredible season? We're bringing back Brent Wagamot two nights in a row. Brent, how are you doing?
What's up, people? How you doing? I can't believe that I'm back, actually. It didn't dawn on me, honestly, until earlier today that I realized I was actually scheduled at 3 o'clock today at work. I work at a casino. For those of you who don't know, I'm a table games dealer. And, you know, when you're scheduled at 3 o'clock, like, usually by the time, like, a lot of dealers come in at 8 and 9. So I knew I was probably going to get out. And that was enough time for me to get home and watch most of the finale and have a fantastic time and enjoy the announcement of the winner. So I was like, do you have room for me to come on? And as it turns out, Peter Brown was on set and couldn't get out. So you were going to be without a co-host and it just all worked out. So here I am.
Yeah, this season's been magic. The podcast has been magic. It just all worked out. But let's get into it. Tyshawn is the winner. And I have to gloat, my winner pick 10 weeks ago, straight out of the gate, Tyshawn. I like this dude. I'm riding him all the way. And it's been great. It has paid off. He almost played a perfect game. I'm very excited for Ty. I enjoyed him all the way through. I loved him from the first intro package I saw of him, so I'm really happy for him. What are your reactions to Ty's winner here?
My top of the page reactions are that never let it be said that in modern day Big Brother, you cannot play cold and snaky and hard and biting and not get the win at the end, because he did all of those things. He fucking gaslit some of the jurors. He didn't own some of his shit. He played hard and basically told some people to fuck off. He didn't need their vote. And told us in the diary room the same thing. He told some of the people going to jury, enjoy jury, bitch, on the way out the door. And yet, they still fucking voted for him. I will question whether or not other people who play that sort of game could get the win in a similar circumstance, because he is such a warm, inviting guy most of the time. As you heard, he talked about he's more of a quieter person in a house full of big characters. I think that particular aspect played well to his strengths. When you're so unlike the others, I feel like people are more likely to reward you. They're more likely to look at you like, wow, you're sort of interesting because you're not like the rest of us crazies over here. And I feel like he did benefit from that. The other thing, too, is that I was really worried that we were going to have to listen to a litany of people on Twitter talk about how Ty was robbed, that juries can't appreciate gameplay. And I was ready to defend the Big Brother gods and this jury and say, look, you know, Ty, he gaslit Jed and he told Beth to fuck off. And that's what I said last night, too. And I was ready for it to happen. I really thought that Braden was going to get the win here. And I have to say, again, I don't know exactly what happened, but I have to think that what I said last night was true, that Kiefer came in big for Ty, and also the fact that the people that he did the worst were people he evicted like a week ago, and they had a little time to get over it too. It always matters, like people like that, like when you evict them. And it was clear to me on the way out the door that Kiefer felt very good about Ty. And I think that he was able to show some of the people in the jury, like, yeah, hey, here's what the guy did, and here's why you might want to vote for him. And also, I just want to give credit to the jury overall, because not just the fact that Kiefer might have done some good for him in the jury, and again, we don't know that. That's just my take on things. But also the fact that they're willing to put his key in the box says something about, you know, what you can play hard, you can play evil in Big Brother and still get the win at the end. I love to see it. I'm so sick of people not getting the win at the end who play hard and who play like basically who just play like it's always the question's always asked, if Dr. Will played in 2021, could he win? And people always say no, he couldn't. But I feel right. Like this win says that he could.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like we saw in the Q&A portion, he's redefining jury management. He said, yeah, like, did I do good traditional jury management? No, throw that out the window. My jury management is my gameplay. I expect the jury to acknowledge my gameplay. And he put the jury in a defensive position where they were saying, oh, yeah, so if I don't vote for him, I'm now not acknowledging good gameplay. I liked how he turned that around. And I like the way that he's representing for this season. Braden had a lot of things that he did that I would have been okay with a Braden win. But for this season, I think Ty is such a more representative winner of what this season was and what the gameplay looked like this season. He was in the driver's seat like almost the whole way through in different conglomerations of alliances he was in. And I am so happy with the fact that he is going to walk away and be the guy who's remembered here. I think if it was Brayden, this whole season would have a very different story.
I think so too. I was ready to come on and defend a Brayden win. I think that there are aspects of his game that are underrated. Like I said, that move at the Final Four was all him. You know, Tara is kicking herself about that today. The fact that she didn't evict Brayden there and instead evicted Kiefer. So that, I mean, that was definitely his move. The fact that he infiltrated the trio so seamlessly and was able to get in there when all of his alliance was totally decimated around him. Like Victoria was gone and Ro and Kyle and everybody like totally and Austin all were gone as well. And I say Victoria was gone because she was more with, you know, Tashawn and Jed by the time that everything started to turn around on Brayden there. So like, I'm happy for both of them. I'm happy for this season. It was really fantastic watching. It could not have turned out any better. It really could not have. It could not have turned out any better for Tashawn to get the win here at the end when it looked like everything was going against him. I have a hunch that this jury is the kind of jury that just likes to hold people's feet to the fire. They wanted to take a go at him because they knew they were going to vote for him. Like, that's why, in my eyes, they were extra, extra hard on him. We can talk about it, but I do feel like overall that they were ready to vote for Ty, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, let's get through the finale. I mean, there was some fluff in the finale, but overall, this was excellent. This was so exciting, and hats off. I have headphones on, so I can't take my hats off. Hats off to you, Big Brother Canada production team. This is so amazing. This is where you excel, is at these really high budget montages. And it looked so polished tonight. We open up with this origin story segment flashing back to BB Can 8. I mean, I do take a little bit of issue with rubbing salt in this guy's wounds again.
That right.
This
is, I still don't get that. Whatever. Like, I can't wait to get to BB 10. Hopefully it's All Stars where we can get a new house and a new set, because I'm sick of this reuse. The BB 8 people, like, they already got done so dirty. And then for them to continue to do this, like, it just pisses me off so much. But whatever. It's OK.
Yeah, I saw Hira tweeted, I'm triggered again. Another night in a row.
Yes,
thanks.
Triggered again. Yes, I know. Right. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I opened up this episode, tears in my eye with this feel good montage they have going on about what life is going to look like when we get back to normal, and that this show was a reminder of normalcy and when we can all get back to seeing our loved ones and the world returning to normal. I love it. Thank you, Big Brother Canada. This season has been such a positive light. And that brings us right into part one of the HOH. So they've got these hoverboards. They're, again, somewhat convoluted rules. We saw this earlier where they're allowed to stack 5 items at a time and then go back and forth, keeping the stack. This comp, I did not think was going to go to the time limit. When they introduced this competition, they say, and you have 4 hours to get 60 discs. And I thought, no way is it going to take anyone 4 hours to stack 60 discs. But it did. I guess it should have been a little conspicuous that they brought up the time limit there.
That's true. Because remember, it's an edited show. So the fact that they even acknowledge the time limit would have been a tip off to me that, oh, that must come into play here. Otherwise, they would have just edited it out because they don't want you to know that there's a time limit.
Yeah, 100%. And they go to a sudden death here where they get they can stack 10 at a time now. And it's the first of 40 discs. So some simplified rules. I love that they go to this because I think the other way to solve this would be at the end of 4 hours, whoever has the most stacked wins.
Which I hate that. That's how Susie won in fucking Survivor Gabon. And it pissed me off to this fucking day that she just stood there like a goddamn statue and ended up having the most powerful immunity in the game. Fuck that. I'm glad they went to this and decided to do it a different way. Thank God I didn't want to have to see Susie almost winning Survivor Gabon all over again.
No, 1,000%. I thought this was great. At first, I was like, why are we just dragging this out? But, you know, it was cool because Ty was gunning up until the last second of this comp, and it worked out really well. Brayden ends up pulling it out, though. So good to Brayden. Again, I think Brayden's narrative, if he would have won, would have been that this dude could win comps when he needed to, that he went on a run here. And that's a strong narrative here. If he was going to have that narrative, he needed to win this final HOH, and he got so close.
So close, all the way down to question 7 of part 3. We haven't even talked about part 2, but I mean, like, really, he was right there. But even I have to say, based on the way the jury was acting, I mean, like, they totally railed Ty and yet they still voted for him. I don't think if Braden wins the final HOH, I still don't think that they vote for Braden. I still think they're voting for Ty. I think at least four of them are still voting for Ty, because remember, this is a 6-1 vote here. So like, I really don't think it mattered that Braden didn't win. The only thing it mattered was that it stopped Tara from winning part one. So that meant she had to win part two to have any shot. Yeah. And I also want to ask you a question. How quick after evicting Kiefer did she realize, Tara, I'm talking about, that she made a mistake?
Oh, man. Do you think she ever realized it?
I don't know.
I think it's going to take someone who knows the game far more than she does to sit her down and explain why that was such a bad move.
Yeah.
Like, because it, I think she was playing a see threat, take out threat. I now have big move on my resume. She wasn't thinking about the actual like two moves ahead chess piece move,
which I supported. I supported that move. I felt like she almost had to win her way to the end anyway. And I didn't, if Kiefer was still there and took her to the end, that was a losing position for her. And I'm like, again, $20,000. What the fuck is $20,000? But I mean, like, you're there to win. So that's why I supported the move. But then once it shook out this way, I was like, oh, that doesn't look so good in hindsight. So maybe she should have kept Kiefer.
Yeah, and 20K is 20K. So she was the one saying that. So, you know, stick to your words, Tara. If you're cool with 20K, make a move that at least gets you there.
Yeah, right.
She had to win out, and she's up against some pretty threatening comp personalities here with Tyshawn, who was underperforming all season. He looks very threatening. And Braden, who's pulled out a lot of wins. I know that Tara also went on a bit of a run there, but she certainly didn't set herself up with an easy competition here for the final HOH. But we get into part two. I love this one. It looked like the movie Tron. Very cool. And this was also fun. They're answering the questions about the days, but they build in a dexterity piece where they have to throw the beanbags. And I think that if this wasn't already going to screw Tara a little bit, her lack of aim certainly didn't help. I enjoyed watching her miss for a few minutes there.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Heather says it right in the comments. End comps in Big Brother Canada especially are almost always physical. There's always physical aspects to them. Like, it seems like they get more physical, and when in reality, for my money, it should be the reverse. It should be physical in the beginning and then get a little easier as things go along and to the end where, you know, anybody can win at the end. But that's not the way they do it in Big Brother Canada. I'll say this. Bobby was on with us last night. I can hear his griping already. That the way they showed part two, they sort of yada yada through Tyshawn's some of his questions. They sort of sped through some of them. It's really hard to get a gauge on like how he was doing and how she was doing. Of course, we would find out in the end. There's a reason they're trying to hide the ball, because it's not particularly very close. Tyshawn did it in like 11 fucking minutes, and then Tara took like over 40. So that really sucked all the drama out of it right now. Right then, if you're a feed watcher, you know exactly what's going to happen once Tara loses part two. And I think some of the, also, you really should tell people, like, with no, here's the thing about Big Brother Canada. Normally there's a spoiler because there's an audience, but there's no audience this year because of COVID. Right. But there were still people on Twitter trying to pose as spoilers, saying that Tara had won part three, taken Braden, and Tara had won the game. And that was really, like, a lot of people on my timeline were really annoyed because no one wanted that to happen. They were really, really in a bad mood. And I'm like, girl, like, people literally just, this is what the trolls do. They take the one thing that you don't want to happen, and then they pretend to be a spoiler and push that out there. And like, and look, here's the thing. Even like one third of the time, they're going to be right. Like one third of the time, yeah, Tara's probably going to win the final HOH, sure, you know, all things being equal. So the fact that some people bought it on Twitter without an audience was sort of like laughable to me. Stop doing that, people. Stop being dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I think once you have the feeds ripped away from you, you're just looking for anything. Like, this intel has to be out there. Yes. It's always out there. So,
yes, yeah. I know, right? Yeah.
But yeah, so Tyshawn ends up winning pretty easily part two of this HOH. We didn't get to see too terribly much of that, but I think you could tell easily from the DRs how flustered Tara was that she was not winning this. And then we get a jury segment checking in with the jury before they are joined by the final member, and Poutine Poppy is there.
Woohoo, baby! Like, I have to tell you, I have the biggest fucking crush on Anthony. He the thing about Poutine Poppy is that, like, he has an Instagram and he is living his best life right now. And he is like willing to show you like all of the, you know, meats and spices. I'm just saying, like, you can really kind of see everything, and he is living his best life. He is such a beautiful man, and he is so amazing. I can't, like, he needs to come back for All-Stars. Like, I want to see Anthony back on All-Stars, like, ripping these people and showing them how to get it done, because he's everything to me. I'm so glad on a season this diverse that they didn't bring in some random boring white person. They brought the poutine poppy back. Anthony is everything to me. I love him, and I loved him on his season. Like, very, very fun to watch. I loved Anthony being here, and I thought that he really did a good job of being the moderator.
Yeah, I mean, again, he wasn't on a jury, so it was kind of fun hearing the way he was doing the questioning, because normally we hear from, like, former jury members, I feel like, in these segments, but it was cool to have him there. My favorite part of this, though, was Kiefer's reaction as Kiefer walks out and sees all of his friends on the jury and then just glances over and goes, "Poutine Poppy?" And then just continues about his day and sits down and reconnects with everyone. Very right? fun. Yeah,
yes, I like that, too.
Yeah, so the jury's reflections... they were giving Ty a lot of credit here. This was where I started to feel good about my man Ty and that my winner pick might be coming through for me, because we hadn't heard a whole lot about Ty's game from the jury. We'd only heard a whole lot about Ty saying, "fuck jury management." This started to turn things as Roe and Keith were giving Ty a lot of credit, and Beth was saying that she could be swayed and was starting to feel swayed. So that was good. Their narrative on Tara's game, that she has dealt with a lot of adversity, and they saw her being evicted and returning to the game as a positive, not a negative.
Yes.
Do you feel like that would have had much of an impact? That was one of Anthony's questions.
I mean, I didn't understand, like, the fact that they viewed it as a positive. I mean, the only thing positive she did was get Jed out with her opportunity to come back into the game. I never understood that it was positive or negative. Like, I mean, like... basically, like, blink and it never happened. Like, I mean, she was out of the house for like a fucking second and then came right back in. Like, I wouldn't have paid it no mind. It really wasn't anything. I can't even believe they spent as much time on it as they did.
No, I agree. I was really interested, though. You know, this whole finale was edited, and we got a lot of clues. I feel like now in hindsight, you can watch this almost more like an episode of Survivor or something, because this isn't being edited on a, like, day-to-day basis where we don't know what's going to happen next. They know how this turns out. And we got the jury very high on Braden's game. We got a lot of praise for Braden's game, and this should have been the smoking gun that they're trying to sell.
This should have been the smoking gun. Yes, they're trying to sell us that Braid is going to be the winner, and they're also doing it as a little bit of a consolation prize because they know he ain't going to win, so they want him to feel a little bit good. They want his supporters to feel a little bit good, and they want to show you all the great things about Braden's game because he's not winning the money. So, yeah.
and leaving that segment, I was triggered. I checked Twitter. Twitter was triggered that as the jury is saying Ty is a floater and Braden is a cutthroat strategic mastermind. I'm like, hold on, what? They both have parents to their game, but that ain't it. That's certainly not right. But
that's not it. Yes. No.
We get to part three of the HOH, and oh my God, this was so cool. I'm a big comic book fan, and the way they edited the show into comic book panels, and then we had them come out in a black and white setup. Like, damn, BB Can, that was so cool.
Hey, listen, Trevor Boris and the people over at Big Brother Canada always do a great job with their production value. It's all about art direction and production value in Big Brother Canada. They never, ever fucking mince. I am so, by the way, I had, like, first of all, we live so close to each other, and I am a huge comic nerd as well. Like, I love, like, superheroes and DC and Marvel and all that. Yeah, especially DC is sort of when it comes to superheroes. I like Marvel movies, but I like DC, like, cartoons and comics.
Yeah, right.
So,
on.
You know, right. So, but yeah, I thought they did a fantastic job with this. I love this sort of setup. I think it works very well in a reality TV format. Like, visually, they do such a stunning job on Big Brother Canada, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we learned something about Ty tonight that I did not know, which is he rocks and paces almost constantly when he's nervous. And him during this final HOH doing this was making me so uncomfortable. I was so nervous for him that this was not going to turn out as I think showed my hand that I was rooting.
That was the beginning of it. Yeah, that was the beginning of him doing the pacing and the rocking back and forth. It was very Ian. Like, it reminded me, like, it's just a lot of nervous energy. Doesn't know where to put it. Can't really move too far. So he's got to get it out some way. Like, it was really, really sweet to watch. I love because this is like them. Like, they're so stressed at this point. And I think they both knew you're 95% sure that the, you know, Braden's going to take you and you're going to take Braden. Like, you know all that, but there's, you know, in the back of your mind, you think like, because you remember, these people are all the, it's like Stephen Fishbeck always says, you're always the hero of your own story. You're always the hero of your own narrative. So if you think you're the hero of the story, you know, there's got to be a villain somewhere. Like, Braden could be the villain. He could cut you here if he wins final HOH. If you're the person who, because you think you're going to win, he might recognize that and have to cut you and take the girl that nobody likes to the end and win the game himself. Like, I mean, I think Ty knew that Braden wasn't going to cut him, but I'm sure he'd rather have the win in his pocket just so he didn't have to stress about it in the end.
Oh, yeah. And if some of his narrative was that he didn't win comps at key moments, well, here it is, right?
Exactly.
Pulled it out when he needed to. And Tyshawn pulls off the rare feat of never touching the block the entire game, which I don't think he highlighted at all ever during the jury questioning or his final speech.
Never heard it.
No.
Like, which is amazing to me because it's even better than what Derek did in Big Brother 16, because Derek, again, it's all about what you think. I still think that Derek was nominated in Big Brother 16 because he lost Final 3 HOH. He had to sit in the two orange chairs and let somebody make a decision on whether or not to keep him or evict him. I'm sorry. That's just how I think of it that way. And the fact that Tyshawn, on the other hand, never had to sit in the nomination block, like he was just not having it. He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to sit there, and he made sure of it. So he knew what he had to do when he had to do it. And the fact that he didn't highlight it that at the end, like if he lost, I think we would have come back to that. But the fact that it was a 6-1 vote, nobody cares.
Yeah, no big deal. I wonder how much of it is that he doesn't understand how big of a deal that is, that doesn't happen very often.
I'm sure people after
another fan, but
yeah, I think after the fact, I think people are really going to point it out to him, and I think they're also going to point out to him that he was literally one vote away from playing a perfect game, never touching the block and getting all 7 votes at the end. If Tara doesn't have that last vote there, he literally has a perfect game, which is really, really cool to see. Cochran obviously had a perfect game in Survivor. I think, no, Earl didn't have one because somebody voted against him pre-jury. Somebody else had a perfect game. I can't remember.
JT.
Okay. Like just to do something like that, that's so cool. I think I he's going to be happy with $100,000 and the win. And maybe, hell, maybe they bring him back for All-Stars. I mean, I don't think Tyshawn would come back. I mean, I think he would come back. I don't think they would bring him back for All-Stars because there's so many other people that they would like to bring back. I don't think that they would bring him back. But he, you know, he's a winner now. And I could see them saying, you know what, let's see if he can do it again. Like, I would love to see something like that. The thing about Tyshawn, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because we're going to talk about how he won. But the fact that he had so many faces. He was almost like Arya in Game of Thrones, where he had like different faces to him, where like, you know, you thought he was this kind of guy, but then like about 2/3 of the way through, he sort of flipped it and became really fucking evil at times. Like he was like ridiculously lying to Jed and almost living for the lie. Like he was like, and Jed hadn't done anything to him. And Jed was a good guy. And the fact that he's just lying to his face about, you know, the fact that he's going to keep him. And again, he has the vote. So it's all about him. There's no reason to keep it a secret at that point. You might as well just tell Jed the truth. And then to do the same thing to Beth the next week and basically tell her to fuck off. I mean, I know Beth was terrible, but again, you're playing Big Brother. So it's his responsibility to treat her a little bit nicer, even if she's being a dick on the way out the door. And he didn't do that. Like it didn't matter in the end, and I guess I'm really, because I lose my temper at times too. I mean, hell, you saw it when I played reality TV. So like the fact that he like really like got out over his skis a few times and it didn't come back to bite him in the end, I was really happy to see. I will just take a moment to say, again, I'm still waiting for somebody who plays a game like Ty, who's a woman, who gets mad and gets a little evil and lets people have it sometimes and then gets the jury, then gets the final two. If the jury doesn't then hold it against her and, you know, say she's a bitch and not give her the win. Because I do think that men get away with a lot more than women do. And I think this was at least part and parcel with to that theory with me, in that Tashaun was able to get away with a lot more than any woman in his position might have done. I want to point that out, and it always takes me back to season 6 with Kayla and Paris, and I know why that whole thing happened. I'm not trying to beat up on Paris, but I just want to, like, I remember how much Kayla did in that season and how, like, she played pretty hard and a little evil and was, like, you know, just playing as hard as she could get, and yet no one gave her any mind. So, like, maybe a little bit of chauvinism there, but who cares? Like, there wasn't a woman in the final two, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a long time before that type of aggressive game for a woman is. I mean, I hope it happens. I hope it's not a long time, but I do think the way Jerry's functioned, that will take a while. People will not take it as kindly, and maybe will be a little more bitter on the Jerry to that. But I also think part of it for Ty, and the reason he could get away with some of that shit, is that he's like equal parts a fusion of Jed and LT, where like he's so kind and nice and you just love him like Jed, but then he was also willing to turn it on like LT and just be savage when he needed to. So from two of his key allies, he pulled like pieces of their personality that I think helped balance the other out, because as soon as you were like, man, I'm pissed Ty told me to fuck off and go to Jerry, then you'd remember like some sweet things he did or said or some fun times you had. It was never all one or the other. He balanced it really, really well. And that smile, I mean, you can't stay right mad at Jerry's question, but he's just grinning at you. So
I agree. I think his smile is definitely one aspect of it. Doom in the chat says the difference, Brent, is that until Beth's eviction, Ty maintained solid connections with everybody, which obviously is the case as well. I'll just say this. I was nervous that Ty wasn't going to win, and the fact that he did in the end, like, we're going to talk about how it happened, but oh my gosh, like, I was literally holding my breath, and then once they started reading the votes, I was like, oh my God, he's got it, and that's so cool.
So Ty, as we were saying, Ty wins final HOH, never touches the block, and he eliminates Tara, and he gives an awesome elimination. You know, he says, we want to do a historic all-black final two here, and do it he did. So congrats to Braden and Ty for pulling that off. That is awesome. And a season that one of its biggest hallmarks was diversity, that we do end up with an all-black final two. That's awesome for Big Brother, which often has really big problems with diversity. So I was very happy to see that. And we roll into... Yeah.
Yep. Yes, we don't know. We should have. I'm sorry. Doug in the chat just said something to me that totally threw me off course. So, like, God damn it, Doug. Get your mind out of the gutter. Anyway,
I see Doug's comment.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Okay, like, so people are going to listen to this in the audio and they're not going to understand what the fuck I'm talking about. Doug said, don't forget, Brent. Beth was impressed by his. She was impressed by the size of Tashaun's dick. Like, that's what he's trying to say. Like, he has the little eggplant there. But that's what I remember on Twitter. And then I went and saw it on the clips and the live feeds. And when Beth was talking about the size of his penis, like, oh my God. Like, she was so into that. I really, Doug, you fucking asshole. That did not have anything to do with her vote. If I was on the jury, it might have something to do with my vote. But I don't think it had anything to do with Beth's vote.
Oh my gosh. Well, the Jerry questioning, we'll get into that. So Spicy V is first up. And she's questioning
nice
Ty.
To see her.
Yeah, I know. She brings so much energy. It was really good to see some of these people that I feel like have been gone for so long, but had such a huge role in the season. Like when they're playing all these clip shows and we're seeing so much of LT and so much of Spicy V and so much of Josh, I'm just like, oh yeah, they were gone so long ago, but they're so big. But Spicy V's asking Ty, you know, were you telling people that you had me, that I, like, why do you think you have me, and explain that to me? I really love Ty's answer here. And I think his answers to the questions were sort of all downhill after his response to Victoria. I thought he came across really, really heartfelt, but then also moved some of that like playful banter into some impactful strategic discussion. I think that's exactly what you need to do with the Jerry question, establish a personal connection with that person. And then also get your point across of why you played a good game. And I thought he crushed it with Victoria, and you saw her go from stone face to grinning across the face. So yeah.
Yeah. You just have to give them a little bit of a reason. Like, don't be a fucking dick. Like, just give them a little bit of a reason to vote for you. A smile never hurts. Like, even if you're not feeling that they're feeling you, like, don't show that to them. Like, just smile and, like, you know, try to be cool with everybody. you never know. Some people might be waffling into the very last moment about what key they're going to put in the box, and that person might affect the person next to them, and all of a sudden, like, an easy 6-1 win might be like a 4-3 Braden win. Like, you never know what people are thinking. So I think he did a good job with Victoria. I will say that overall, it seemed to me that as far as Ty goes, it got worse as it went along. I think he started to get a little flustered by some of the hard questions that he was getting from the jury. And I think that he was like maybe a little miffed that Braden's questions weren't quite as hard. Like, again, like 2020 hindsight, I feel like it's because the jury had already decided at that point that they're probably going to vote for Ty. And thus they want to ring him a new asshole before they give him the money, so they feel a little bit better about themselves. But he wasn't really aware of that at this point. So I felt like Victoria was probably his shiny moment. And then after that, it was a little bit harder to watch when he started pacing back and forth and little nervous energy. And like, I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw somebody in the final two, like, literally pace back and forth. So
Enzo,
like, stuff like that.
It was Shades of Enzo.
Right? Yes. Oh my God, Shades of Enzo.
They're laughing at me, yo. They're laughing at me. I'm glad we didn't get that far. But no, Ro's up next, and he's asking Braden some questions. And I was impressed with Braden here too. The big thing I would critique about Braden is there's just no energy behind anything he says. Like, it is to go from Ty, who's pacing and like clapping his hands together and very demonstrative and maybe too overzealous. Braden is just so calm and composed. You almost like zone out while he's talking because all of your senses were so heightened with what was going on a moment before. But I do think he did a really good job providing a narrative for his game, and talking about how he had to recover after Austin left and really just how he was able to bob and weave throughout the game and win strategically when he needed to, and that he was sort of this almost like a cockroach in the game that he could scurry from place to place. Basically, he was saying he was a floater without saying he's a floater because these people don't know what that is. But yes, exactly. I thought he did a good job with that narrative.
I thought he did a pretty good job with that. I do agree with Doug's take, and I saw this elsewhere in my timeline, that he disliked Bray's answer to Ro because it confirmed that Ty was responsible for carrying Braden in the game and really took Braden under his wing and sort of like almost emasculated Braden's role in the game a little bit and took away some of the credit that he was trying to accumulate for himself in the final two questioning there. So, and that was what Kiefer had said to the jury about Ty as far as carrying Braden, and Braden confirmed that in his final two questions. Again, I don't think it mattered in the end, but it didn't do him any good.
It's kind of right there. I mean, Braden said a lot of stuff that he shouldn't have said, like pointing out in his final speech how many times he was on the block. Don't do that. Don't list how many times you were nominated. That's probably not right. So Tina comes back at Ty and asks him whether he was the third wheel in the sauce. And this is where I think Ty starts to go downhill, because I think he took this a little personally, because I think he was expecting more of a softball from Tina. He was not liking this narrative existing in the jury that he would be seen as the third wheel here. I don't think there was too much substance to his answer at all, other than he just basically said, no, we all work together.
Yeah. He was angry. Maybe not angry. He was annoyed. He was feeling good about himself. You know, he just won final HOH. He just got Braden and himself to the final two, which I'm sure, like, after Jed went home, was probably his dream to get Braden and himself to the final two and have a real shot to win this game. And then Tina comes in with a question like that, and he's like, you know, like, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want that kind of heat in the moment, and he quickly was disabused of the notion that this was going to be a feel-good moment for him.
Jed's up next, and Jed asks Braden about his decision to not get rid of Kiefer, and I think this is, I don't think there's anything Braden could have said that would redeem this. I think this is always going to be seen as a real downside, but I do think Braden did a good job trying to dance around this question and articulate not why he didn't get rid of Kiefer, but instead why he had to get rid of Beth in the moment. But I don't think anyone on that jury is really buying that he had to get rid of Beth here. After Beth and Braden had worked relatively closely, Kiefer is being seen as this huge threat by everyone. I think this is kind of a shrug answer for Braden.
I thought
he bounced back, but there's no answer to it. He can't answer it.
Yeah, this was sort of weird to me because, you know, like, Kiefer went home. Like, I don't know why, like, Jed's, you know, beating this dead horse that, you know, why did you not get rid of Kiefer there when, you know, when you ended up getting rid of Beth? Like, again, like, I went, Mama T was probably, which Jed's mother was probably rolling on her floor if she's not in her grave already. The fact that Jed's question was about fucking Beth. Like, I can't. Like, there's still, he still thinks it's literally all about Beth. But the fact that this question came up and like he still made it about Beth. I don't know. I don't understand why it matters what Braden did. Unless what you're trying to say is that you don't think that Braden was a big enough game player, that he took an easy road and got Beth out there when he really should have made the big move to get Kiefer out there. Like was that what Jed was trying to show, yeah, with this question? I felt like he was asking a question, but also trying to show something as well.
Right. No. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he demonstrated this. This also should have been another smoking gun that Jed was going to vote for Ty to win, because he's clearly demonstrating that Braden played a very safe game. Because as I said, I don't really know what Braden was supposed to say here. Like, he answered it as well as he can, but the answer is basically like, yeah, I skirted away from a big move. Like, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which I mean, I agree with. He did skirt away from a big move. I never understood. You had an opportunity, and he had an opportunity in the fake double as well to get Kiefer. Remember, he won the veto during the fake double and had an opportunity to get rid of Kiefer there, which would have had Kiefer and Jed playing for the right to come back in the house, and he still didn't do it. Never had something to his name except for getting Beth out, which didn't even seem like it was his move to begin with. Whatever. Like, I saw some people on Twitter, and I was ready to come on and defend a Braden win if that's what the jury thought. But I felt like in some ways people were trying to put a lipstick on a pig. There are aspects to Braden's game that just aren't good, and this was definitely one of them. Adds to the fact that he agreed to go on the block during Tara's HOH. Like, it was really hard for me to see that through any other lens but runner up tonight.
Yeah, and people love Braden. Braden seems great. I'd love to go out for a drink with him. He seems super cool.
He seems super awesome. Yeah.
Did I want him to win tonight? No, I don't think he had the game for it. But if he did win, there are enough things you could point to of why he won. So I'll go either way. But Beth then comes in and is asking Ty about jury management, what we all
want. Yes. Yes.
This, you know, if you want to see Ty squirming, here it is. I wasn't sure how Beth reacted to this answer. I was trying to read her face, but she was just absolutely emotionless as she was watching Ty respond to this. I thought he should have went back to some of that earlier nice energy. I don't think he did awesome on
this. He didn't give a fuck. I think he's like, you know what? I got enough votes. I don't need your fucking vote, woman. I literally think that's what he's thinking in that moment. Like, he's not going to give that to her. He doesn't want to give that to her when, you know, if some people are feeling a certain type of way, it might be a 3-3 vote. Like, I even tweeted out when Tara came out and said, you know, hey, I'm Team Braden. I felt like that might be the fourth vote that he needs to win. Like, so, like, I mean, any vote that you can get here in a 7-person jury, you you just cannot give any vote away. You know, Tashawn definitely got away with one there with his answer.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't know. He definitely seemed annoyed. Like, hold on, we had 8 weeks of good times, and then I screwed you over one time, and you're going to hold my feet to the fire right now? Whatever. Yeah, fair enough. Kiefer comes up and he's asking about Braden's moves. Braden is selling a narrative here. Braden is not selling a list of moves or a resume here. He's selling, I overcame struggles, which, that again, if people are really high on Braden's answers to these questions, that is how you need to pivot. If you do not have a long list of big moves you made, you need to sell a narrative, which he pivoted to very well and talked about overcoming struggles. And that, you know, that at least worked on Tara.
I guess it worked on him. Like, I worked on Tara. I will say that overall, like, I thought he did a good job with what he had. Like, talk about putting lipstick on a pig. Like, that's basically what Braden did with his final two questions, where he was like, you know that I don't have a list of things that I did, but I overcame adversity. Like, that's what I did. I was like a cockroach in the game. I felt like he needed to talk more. Like, he could have really talked more about the fact that, you know, I won back-to-back-to-back comp wins when I needed to, like, because these people value comp wins so much in modern day Big Brother. I felt like he should have talked more about that. And he didn't really, that was amazing to me. Like, it's not often that happens. Usually when you win back-to-back-to-back, people are like, well, we have to get rid of you now because you're too much of a threat. And yet he still overcame that and got to the end. So, like, I felt like at this point that it was in my, I'll say this, in my wildest dreams, it felt like this was pointing to a Tashaun win, but I was almost too scared to like envision that, because that's really what I wanted, and I wanted the jury to award him, but I'm so used to juries disappointing me in modern day Big Brother, so I almost didn't want to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and Tara's question, the last question is, you know,
whatever, she was voting for Braden.
Yeah, yeah, like whatever. Tara and Braden had really similar game trajectories. They were outside of the loop like almost constantly, and then they had some big wins at the end that got them some clout, and they worked themselves into the final three. Which, yeah, credit to them, but I already felt some kind of way about Tara, and I feel even more some kind of way about her costing Ty the win. So I'm just going to yada yada the Tara segment. let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll come back talk about pitches and the vote.
But let me just tell you, I can't wait to talk to y'all about LaToya. We got stuff to talk about. Yes, let's talk about that when we come back.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the build your own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday.
And we are back, and it's final pitch time. Ty and Bray, I don't really know that either one of them nailed this. Like I said before, Ty did not bring up the fact that he never touched the block, and Brayden couldn't stop talking about how many times he was on the block. What were your reactions to their final pitches? I mean, a minute is not a lot of time to do anything.
That's the thing. I don't understand. This is the one fucking time that Big Brother Canada and the goddamn producers drop the goddamn ball. Why in the hell on a show that is taped, that is 2 fucking hours, are you giving your incredible history-making final two, all black final two of Brayden and Ty, 1 fucking minute to summarize their entire fucking game? Like, this reeked of, I don't know what intern made this decision to give them 60 seconds. Like, I understand if you give people a lot of time on a show like this, that they're probably going to hem and haw a little bit, and it's not exactly scintillating television. But, boy, 60 seconds was really, really ridiculous. I think overall, like, you could have given them at least 90 seconds or 2 minutes. And if they've got a few awkward pauses, like, just edit them the fuck out. Like, it's not that hard. I don't understand who made this decision, but please don't ever do it again, because I felt like both of them got cut off just as they were getting going.
Yeah, no, Peter and I have talked about this a number of times. They really need to transition the Big Brother Jerry segment into a roundtable discussion like they do on Survivor these days, and give them more time to have a conversation and to really get the story of their game out there, because so many of these questions and the reactions are, they're just really truncated. And these speeches are especially truncated. Like, this did no one any favors, the audience included. And what, just so we can rush to like the Hot Mess Express? I think we're fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, which I felt like some of those clips, like, I had seen already. Like, they showed them, like, they showed a few clips, and then they showed like other clips, but it was from the same fights. And I felt like we had seen, like, I think I've seen LaToya versus Kyle like at least 5 or 6 times already. Like, give it up, people. Like, I felt like they were, again, on a, here's the thing. I can sometimes forgive it on Big Brother USA because their shit is live. So mm-hmm. I understand why producers don't want to give people who aren't used to being on television a free open mic on live television. I totally get it. But this is taped. And that's the reason why they tape it, is because they want to have a little bit more control over it. And the fact that they don't utilize that benefit just annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah, next time. The season was almost perfect. Yes. Next time, deal with that. But we get to the vote. This is pretty uneventful for me, other than every season of Big Brother Canada, it gets me when Arissa says, remember, you are voting for who you want to win, Big Brother Canada. Like,
yes, I don't know who else in the history of reality television, like, their mistake is living on long after. Like, Topaz would have been a footnote in Big Brother Canada history if not for her massive mistake in the finale to accidentally put in Jillian's key instead of Gary's key when she meant to do the opposite, obviously. But Arissa's, like, I guarantee you, Arissa's going to say that until she's done hosting the show. And whoever, and if ever Arissa's not hosting the show because, like, they promoted her to, like, you know, Pope or something, like, then I guarantee you, whoever comes in after her will also say the thing about making sure you put in the key of the person that you want to win. Because I still don't even know what the fuck happened with Topaz. Like, did she not, like, I still don't even know what happened with Topaz, because, like, did she have the wrong key and, like, she just, like, did realize she switched it, or did she thought she was evicting somebody in second place? Like, what the fuck happened there? I've never gotten a clear answer on that. Yeah. Whatever. Anyways.
Yeah. Moving on. This was 9 years ago, but it is still so compelling. And I also
compelling. Yes,
that moment can be credited with, I think, why we got a season two of Big Brother Canada. So that moment is
yes,
epic.
You think
that happened? Okay. That's gold. That's ratings gold right there. That'll sell any network. So good stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, they go through and do the vote, and I still at this point I'm a little tepid about my man Ty's chances. As Jed says,
I'm
loyal to the soil. I was like, wait a minute, is that a dig or is that celebrating Ty?
That could have been a dig. Yeah. In another universe, he puts in Brayden's key. Yeah, but yeah. Well, when I saw Spicy V and Roe voted for Tashaun, I was like, okay, he's got it. Yeah. Like that's it right there. Like I didn't even care what Jed and Beth did. Like I felt like there's enough votes there for Tashaun to get it. And sure enough, like it was literally a sweep. Like the fact that they didn't show all the votes like immediately right away, I felt like was a key that he had won 7-0. The fact that Tara fucked it up with her vote again, whatever. We're not gonna talk about it.
It's the most Tara thing ever to do. Like, of course, yes. Tara did that. Like,
and you can tell she was apologetic at the end because Arissa notes that everybody else voted for Tashaun, and then Tara, but you voted for Brayden. She's like, well, I told him I would. Like, she's so ridiculous. Whatever.
Yeah. And she's a mom. Don't forget she's a mom. I also learned that tonight. I had never heard that. Very cool. But the moment we've all been waiting for, we get to see the pre-jury folks coming in on a live stream. And
I know this happened, but we're going a little out of order. So obviously, like they waited to show us the winner at the end of the show, but and then before they brought in. But this is how we're gonna talk about. So we talked about all the game shit. Now we're gonna talk about the tea, bitch. Yes. We're gonna talk about the tea. I was a little pissed. First of all, let me say this really quickly. They made all these fucking people come out in eviction in masks.
Yeah.
But then on the finale, when there's like literally like 9 fucking people on stage, none of them have to wear a mask, including the people who just got out of the house. Again, make it make sense, Big Brother. Like, I don't understand the fact that you do that sometimes and then not all the time. Like, if it's important, then it's important now. I don't understand why in the finale you're not making people wear masks when you've made them wear masks the entire time. I know Arissa was social distancing, but she social distances all season. Why are you making them wear masks? Anyway, whatever. So we get a chance. Yes. And then that goes into my other gripe, which is these 5 people, you didn't even, like, you couldn't test them for COVID and bring them on stage. Like, come on. Like, I feel like haven't we moved on? Like, I know I have. I told you I was at the Eagle bumping and grinding with my shirt off, for God's sake. Yeah. So I really, I've moved on, God damn it, Zach.
We're anyway. A fully vaccinated podcast. Just get these people some vaccines. Come on.
Right? Anyway, but I will say, Queen Latoya did not let that stop her. The fact that she was in by Zoom, you thought it might make her a little sweeter and maybe she's going to be a little bit more polite, but bitch, she kept it real. I was actually fucking gagged that she went in as hard as she did with Beth. Like, first of all, she has something to say about the Sunsetters. That's Arissa's question to her is like, you know, were you upset to see the Sunsetters turn on each other? And of course, she was upset to see the Sunsetters turn on each other. And of course, that gives Kiefer an opportunity to, you know, beat his chest and feel himself, which, again, I compared him to Adam Pock on Twitter at the Big Brother 13 finale. It was all about fucking Kiefer. And he was like, every time he was on camera, he's like, look at me. Anyway, whatever. Yes, I know. So Latoya gave him a little bit of shout out. And then she's like, that disappointed me, and it also disappointed me. I don't think anybody was really feeling the dissolution of the Sunsetters, and I don't feel like anybody, Arissa, was really feeling the dissolution. All right, I don't think anybody was really feeling the showmance of Beth. No one really wanted to see that. I'm trying to imitate Latoya's voice here, and like. The funny part is, like, because she's on Zoom and then, like, it's played, and then obviously Gary and Brayden, I'm gonna hear about that, boy. Brayden and Ty are on Zoom as well, and so, like, it has to go in, and like, there's a little bit of a delay before they hear what Latoya said. When Brayden heard that Latoya had dragged and buried Beth as hard as she did, he was absolutely beside himself. He was gagged. He was like, he literally grabbed Ty and was like, no, she did not. She did not. Oh, it was great. Latoya, chef's kiss. Fabulously done. Like, everybody tried to be spicy. Girl, sit down. Like,
Julie,
she tried too hard. but LaToya, she was amazing. Like I could listen to LaToya. I really hope they bring her back for All-Stars. They got to bring her back.
Please,
they got to bring her back.
Like she made the most of these moments. If they're contemplating it, she absolutely put herself back on that ballot, because even when they're replaying some of the fight segments and she's reenacting the fight scene from her Zoom call, it's so good.
Right?
Like she still has that energy. Like what we saw was not lightning in a bottle. That is her. Bring her back whenever you can. She's great.
Oh, she was fantastic. I mean, it shows you like how good of a job they did with the casting on this season. Yeah. To find somebody like LaToya, and bitch, she was hungry for the win. She was not happy to go. She was not like, she was fighting until the very end. Like I remember when she was like the fucking Victoria nominated her and backdoored her, and like she's trying to like stop Victoria from like supporting her eviction, but yet she's still not having it with her. And she's like, "Can you let me talk, please?" Like that's how a conversation works. Like the fact that they reshowed that again was showed me like, oh my god, I need more LaToya in my life. I love her. She's just such good television.
Yeah, she's sick. I mean, you know, people were asking in the chat, who do we think would come back for an All-Stars if it is All-Stars? I think you could see LaToya. I think you could see Spicy V. I think Kiefer is certainly in. Yeah.
I think those three people. Actually, I think they could stop at that. I think there's other people in other seasons that they can get, but pick three BIPOC people from this season in LaToya, Victoria, and Kiefer. And call it a day, man. Maybe Jed too, but I feel like that's too many Sunsetters to bring back. So, you know, yeah. I'm okay with just leaving at those three. But LaToya is at the top of my fucking list, bitch. You have to bring her back. I will write Arista today. She has to bring her back. Okay. Yes.
That's good shit. I mean, they brought it on the pre-jury segment. I loved it. And then we got some of these weird clip segments that I think the time could have been better assigned, but we see some fights.
I only needed one clip segment. I didn't need three. Or two, whatever they gave us. It was one too many.
Yeah, they gave us three. I needed two of them. The first one where they showed all the fights, I didn't want, but then I realized I needed it when LT was doing the reenactments. That was a blast.
Yes.
And it was also such a good reminder of like I was saying before, LT went out so early, but what a huge impact she had on the season. Like, and Josh creating all this chaos, he took credit for it of, you know, everyone loves this season because it was a hot mess from start to finish. I started the hot mess and it never went away.
Yeah,
so.
a little bit too much credit he's given himself there. I don't feel like these people needed any help from Josh to be fucking crazy. They're all fucking nuts. But yeah, like I really like that. I will say too, there was one more moment in the finale where they talked about the fact that, you know, how the history making nature of this cast and how there are so many LGBT QIA people and there are so many BIPOC people, and like it was just literally you won't find a cast like this on any other television show. It was really fantastic to see, and the fact that you got to hear the house guests in real time in the diary room talking about it and what it meant to them to walk into a house, and you never like I never but I'm going to be real with y'all, I never would think about, is there somebody in the house who knows how to cut my kind of hair?
Yeah.
But Jed is like literally outside the house before he's going in thinking about, you know, is there somebody in there who's going to know how to cut black hair? Because I need a barber in there and I don't know how to do it myself. So I love the fact that they really highlighted the challenges that people like this who are BIPOC face when they're thinking about going on to a reality show. Like, are there going to be people like there in me, like me, people who Beth was the person who wanted to go in there and feel people in her, but like everybody else. So they wanted to see people that are like them. So the fact that they got this segment was really great. Obviously Kiefer annoys the shit out of me at times. The only time he doesn't is when he's talking about his community, and I love all of that. That's really fantastic to see. I will say, you know what? I don't know if they forgot, but Rohan is also a person of color, and like as far as and he's a fucking king, and the fact that he won three vetoes back to back to back,
he got done dirty in the finale.
He did. He did. He got done dirty in the finale. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I know Kiefer talks about his community all the time. Ro doesn't, but that doesn't make it any less cool. Like, I feel like they needed to show him a little bit more and in the finale and show what a contribution he had made to this season, because Ro was everything. If there's a fourth person I would bring back for this season, it would be Ro. But again, I think they're just going to stick with three people for this season. So we'll see.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, landmark diversity season. I love it. And we heard it from Kiefer. He was talking about the burden of representation he felt coming into the house. And guess what? That slate gets wiped clean when you see how many other people from so many diverse backgrounds are there. And man, what a game that opened up for all these people that we have not seen play Big Brother in this way before. People who looked like them, people who sound like them. It's amazing. You know, I think that this was such a big theme this season. And with all the crazy gameplay leading up to the finale, I had forgotten about some of these moments where, you know,
right?
Braden talking about why diversity matters. This is beautiful. I love it. Huge credit to Arissa and the whole BB Can team for doing this. You know, Big Brother US, take note on many things. I hope.
I mean, really, like, I mean, I think I'm trying to say, Doom in the chat says, I think Arissa deserves most of the credit for this cast, and Big Brother USA should ask her to consult for Big Brother 23. I mean, yep. Why not? You know what? She's a fucking producer of Big Brother Canada now. They could ask her to consult. I really wish that the Big Brother USA, Big Brother USA production, I feel like they will take notes. They did a better job. If not for some of the COVID things, I think they would have had 6 or 7. Black or people of color in for Big Brother All-Stars because a few people got COVID and Josh and Casey, obviously it went down to 5 BIPOC, but like, I feel like that, you know what? Reality television is never going to be what it was. And I think we should all be very grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, and Josh and Casey's COVID, I don't know. They ended up on the channel, which pays like 3 times as much as Big Brother. So
And they're probably going to be asked back. Like Josh has been asked back how many times now? So And Casey too. So yeah.
Better gig for them. If they faked COVID, good call, guys. that's basically where we end. And the vote is revealed. They celebrate Ty as the winner. Ty, classic class act, didn't even come out and do the pose where we get the gif of the win. He just immediately goes over to start hugging people. We don't even have a good still of him coming out. I wanted to grab one for the thumbnail for the episode, but it doesn't even exist.
But, instead, you can use me. Yes.
Perfect. Right. And we get the big news at the end. The inaugural fan favorite award goes to
Big Again. Shot. They put this in there because they knew Kiefer wasn't winning the game. I swear to God, if you give truth serum to Arissa Cox, I swear to God, they put this in there because they wanted to give something to Kiefer and they wanted him to feel amazing. By the way, Heather in the chat says that when Kiefer beats his chest, it's to acknowledge his tribe or his community. And I'm like, I'm totally cool with that. But Beth, Beth, I called you Beth, Heather. Oh my God, I'm never going to hear the end of that. Heather, when he goes like, this, like, is that something else for his community? Like, he just looks like a douche when he's doing that. When he does like he looks like he's like the Hulk. Like, is that something else that
I think it is. I mean, it reminds me of like the Maori culture in like New Zealand.
Is that it?
I do wonder if
such a white boy, so please don't hold it against me, but like, I would never have known. Like, it looks like a wrestling move, for heaven's sake, when he's like, because he also does the thing with it too. So again, I'm like, what is that?
I love
very Rupert, Doug.
Yeah,
it very is. Rupert. Yes. Oh,
yeah. He's corny, but he's fun. Yeah,
he's corny, but I'd rather take corny than delusional. So he's not delusional. He knew he was going to win. I love it. He's not even surprised that he won Canada's favorite HOH. All right, well, you know what I mean. Canada's favorite. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm so tongue twisted.
It's so new. It's so new. We don't even know what it's called yet.
It's so new. Yes. Yes. They made it again. They made it up for him. I swear to God they did.
I think.
And I'm going to my grave saying that.
Well, Brent, this was an incredible season. I have had so much fun podcasting. You got anything else?
Dude, like, this was phenomenal. Like, what a season. And the again, I just want to point out, the jury awarded the backstabber, the evildoer, the guy that had many faces and showed them all in the house. They picked that guy to win. It can be done. So much of it is dependent on the jury. I do think some of it is dependent on the person who's in the final two chairs in Ty. Again, with that smile, like, you look at somebody like there are two people who are kind of dicks on the way out the door, and Paul and BB19, right. and to Sean, at least with a few people. And but you look at them in the final two chairs, and Paul was just like, he was defensive, and he was like, he never smiled, and he just looked nervous the entire time. And I know that there were aspects of Ty that were like that in the questions, but overall his smile just came through. When you've got a megawatt smile like that and a demeanor to you that makes people want to reward you, it makes it very easy for them to put your key in the box. And I was so happy to see it.
Yeah. Perfect finale, not only because I think I might have gotten my first winner pick correct ever in Big Brother history. So
yes, yeah. And I want to acknowledge too, our coworker Bobby said he had it, if it was Brayden versus Ty, he had it pegged at like 70-30 Ty. And I was kind of the other way. I was really feeling like the mistakes that Ty had made down the stretch were really going to cost them. I'm so used to modern day juries and Big Brother not awarding people like Ty. They really sometimes award the person who just kind of shows up at the end and smiles and said, I won a few comps. Hi, Paris. I'm looking at you. Anyway, so, but they didn't this time. They gave it to him. And congratulations, Bobby, for getting that right. But you know what? I've never been happier to be wrong. So congratulations to Sean.
Yeah, perfect end to an absolute blast of a season. Brent, thank you so much for podcasting with me all season.
Thank you. Yes, I needed, listen, after my demise at my previous podcast, like I needed a new home, and you guys have been such a fabulous landing ground for me. I can come over here and say whatever the fuck I want. It's my fucking show. I can swear if I want to. I can tell you stories about what I'm doing back home. I don't get, you know, tisked, you know, when I'm off stream about, like, you know, don't go off topic, Brent. So the fact that I'm over here and I can be real with you guys, I fucking love it. So, and I thank you guys for following me over here, because again, you guys show me my worth, and it's great to see. Oh my god, I sound like Kiefer. Oh god.
Yeah, no, we love having you here. This has been so much fun, and thank you so much to everybody who's tuned in all season and who has been here with us, watching, listening in the chat. We've had a blast with Big Brother Canada 9, and it is because of all of your support that we are doing this, and we are having so much fun with it. So thank you again so much. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Zach Hacker Writes, and you can find Brent at One Lucky Gay on all the social media.
On all the social media apps. Just find me. I'll be there. Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, we will talk to you soon, and thank you, everybody, for a great Big Brother Canada season.
Thanks, guys.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us, because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house, because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.CO. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code Survivor, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Now that the holidays are over, it's all too common to set health goals that never actually stick. New Year's resolutions of the past, we're looking at you. And when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest, most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less.
Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars contain just 1 gram of sugar, 2 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle, but also the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of these bars. I start my morning off with one every day. I mean, I'm watching shows like The Challenge, and I want to be a beast like CT. I need these Monk bars to start my day because they give me the energy and the power to push through some tough workouts, and I'm a huge fan.
I think CT could have used the Monk Pack keto granola bars. I mean, they have soft and chewy texture. They come in delicious flavors like coconut, cocoa chip, maple pecan, and my favorite, peanut butter.
Ooh, they're so good. And they're perfect for a quick breakfast, a snack between Zoom calls, or a late night treat that you don't have to feel guilty about. In addition to being keto friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and non-GMO with no soy, trans fats, sugar, alcohols, or artificial colors.
Hey, they taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste that they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
Yeah, and Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. So to get started, just go to monkpack.com, that's MUNKPACK.com, and select any product, and then use promo code SURVIVOR, they love it when we do that, at checkout for 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on, and we thank them for sponsoring Reality NSFW.
Breaking news! This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, I've had my moments in the past where I tried to use the old disposable razor, tried to do some shaving. Oh my God, it looked like a 1980s NWA world title match. Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes wearing the Crimson Mask. Not anymore. No way, Jose. Oh my God, we're talking what makes this trimmer different than the other trimmers. It's a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel like me. I'm in Miami once a month for wrestling. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. She's not checking out my balls, but if she did, oh, I would be ready. Now, we also have the Lawnmower 4.0 giving you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud.
The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on your bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So here you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. manscaped.com. Use that promo code SURVIVOR and unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.